Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts College Football Podcast, your ticket to all things college football. Are you looking to get your college football fix? Looking to get the latest news on your favorite school's team? Join us as we talk college football from the national championship to college rivalries to bowl games to the Heisman Trophy to which conference is the best. We've got you covered for the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12. ACC, and everything in between.
Up, welcome to the GSMC football podcast on a Friday. Today here is going to wrap up the week with some talk. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC podcast network. It is the college football edition of the GSMC football podcast with your host Tom Doherty. As always, on a Friday, as we are going to get some talk on your Heisman hopefuls as we get through this this drawn out long off season that just continues to never end. Because we have to wait for our football around here. We have to wait. I mean, honestly, if you want football, you can watch Canadian football. But if we want to wait for our football that we love every year, our college football or NFL, you got to wait a couple more weeks or a few more weeks before games start. Only a couple more weeks, I think, till we're going to be seeing players on the field. I know some NFL teams have already had rookies reporting very earlier this month, but yeah, this is going to be a season that I think is going to be of anticipation. I know this is the right now we're in the, if you're basketball fans, everybody basketball fans out there, we're in the summer of LeBron. Everybody's like, oh, where's LeBron going to go? Honestly, actually today is a big day, part of that for those who are paying attention to basketball. But as far as football goes, we can just speculate about what we're going to see this year. Who's going to start for Alabama? What's the Heisman situation? Who's a Heisman favorite? I don't know. I think the fact that we haven't seen Nick Saban come out yet and come out with a definitive either depth chart like we saw over at Clemson, or even saying, "Oh, Tua, I like what Tua is doing right now," or I like what Jalen's doing right now. I think that it goes to show you that he doesn't really want to make a definitive call, because he knows when he does that he's going to have to. He's probably going to have to go with Mr. Tagovailoa, because it's just too much riding against Jalen, and too much riding for Tua coming out of that game. So you got to give him credit. You got to give him all the credit to and deserves because of the game that he played on January 4th when they beat Georgia. I mean, that game was done. I'm sorry, Georgia had that game. It was pretty much done. Jalen really wasn't doing anything against the offense. I mean, sorry, against the defense. It was very stagnant offense for Alabama. They were punting a lot more than I think they had punted all year. You put in your dynamic freshman who can actually throw the ball down the field, and you find out that, we got a star on our hands, folks. I mean, he came all the way. You recruited him from Hawaii. I mean, he's probably like a four or five-star recruit, obviously, coming out of high school. So, I mean, this guy's done a lot of stuff on a high level already. I mean, this is going to be a whole other segment we might have to do here in the show later. Probably about just sports and younger kids coming up these days. Because, I mean, I played travel sports. I've been around a lot of kids that have played competitive sports, whether it's swimming, football, baseball, volleyball, golf. Doesn't matter. Basketball, obviously. But doesn't matter. There's youth sports in America right now, especially when you get up to the middle school and high school age. I mean, there's kids out there who have to decide whether they're going to play high school sports or play a competitive travel ball team. I mean, obviously, football is a little different. Football, obviously, you're likely going to play. I mean, you're playing high school football, because high school football, especially in at the highest level, is very, very competitive, very high leveled, and does prepare you well for college. I mean, Tua, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's a state champion at his school in Hawaii. I mean, this is a guy who has been a highly talented recruit since he was, what, 14 years old. I mean, Tua was going to transfer if he didn't play in that game against Georgia. I'm like, he was a freshman. He didn't know what he would. How would he possibly know that he was going to play or not? I mean, obviously, he had confidence. The guy is what, 15, is 20 years old? Yeah. He always has confidence in his game, but he has to, like, know that there's a system at hand. There's a way things work. You don't just, like, assume a position, especially when a guy's been a starter for the whole year, the other guy ahead of you. But, I mean, this is a guy who went to the same school as Marcus Mariota. This is a guy who has been gone through the same – I mean, we saw what Marcus can do. Marcus has been a pretty good NFL quarterback during his time now with the Tennessee Titans. I mean, but the thing is, also, Tua has had Marcus as a mentor. He's had Marcus with him. He knows what to expect. There's not going to be any surprises, I don't think, at any level whatsoever. The guy's prepared, and preparation is a big part of it, and big part of being successful in sports. It's a big part of, I mean, it'd be so surprising that this guy did amazing against Georgia. I mean, some people probably weren't surprised at all. I bet you Tua wasn't surprised. I bet you Marcus Mariota wasn't surprised, because they know, they've been there, and they've been playing. They've been playing this game at a high, high, high level for quite a long time. They've been refining skills, doing things. I mean, that's why we're seeing guys come in here at such a young age and setting the world on fire as rookies and freshmen in college and sophomore in college, second-year players, even in the NFL, going crazy because they've been prepared and they have been in the system. They've also had the best, probably the best nutrition and the best doctors, and we actually care about that kind of stuff now. Like back in the day, it was, you were working on in the farm or in a factory or something like that in the off season. You were going to get strong through that, and then you're going to come back to football when it's time for football. Now it's year round weight training, diligent food eating program, supplement program, more weight training, more cardio training, more footwork drills. I mean, it's just over. It's over, and it's year-round. It's always getting better, refining what you can do. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, it makes sense, honestly. I mean, the guy, not everybody. That's why we were so surprised, and we were so, transcendent, but so surprised and so, like, just taken aback by what he did in January in the national championship game. Every year it gets bigger, it gets more visible, it gets more widespread, whether it's different platforms or it's in a brand new stadium like it was last year. You're in the biggest stage, the biggest stage. I mean, this game, I mean, it's not the Super Bowl, but it's, I mean, it's close. It's, college football is pretty darn big in our country here. A lot of eyeballs on that. And he gets sacked. He led his team all the way back, gets in position to get to overtime, did all this work. Already that to some people is an amazing feat to do what he did to get that team to overtime, and now he has a chance to win it in overtime, and he gets sacked, and you think George is going to take this one back to their house, like right on the street there from Atlanta and over in where are they Athens, Georgia, and nope, he says nope. I got one more play, guys. I got one more play. I'm gonna beat your corner. I'm gonna look off a safety, and I'm gonna fire an absolute missile down the left side of that sideline, left side of that field, down the sideline, and get the touchdown to win the game. So, I mean, it's this kind of same thing. I mean, you know, I know. I was just watching. This makes me think of all these different things with sports, because sports, obviously, we have there's powers in sports. There's favorites. There's the dynasties, or whatever you want to call it, in sports. There's people that are expected to win. Obviously, Georgia was a very, very, very good football team last year, and they were very, very capable of winning that game. Honestly, I thought they had no chance. After seeing what Alabama did to Clemson, I thought they had no chance. I think that line was like a 4-point, minus 4 for Alabama. I'm like, easy pickings. They'll win by a touchdown. No problem. I mean, they ended up winning by, what, like 4 or something like that? Exactly on the dot, because they didn't kick the extra point in the overtime, because they won the Super Bowl, won the game on a walk off touchdown, basically. But you know, there's always favorites, there's always expectations for Alabama, and be able to go and meet those expectations. I mean, look at the same thing we saw I was going to make an analogy to the World Cup right now. It's going on with Germany. I mean, Germany, this is a team that's expected to win. They're expected to go on. They're no lose. Germany, you play soccer is a 90-minute game. You play 90 minutes, Germany wins. They'll figure it out. Well, obviously, if you've been paying attention to the World Cup, I'm not spoiling anything because it's all over. But Germany's done, obviously. They couldn't make it to they finished last in their group in the group stage just quickly on the World Cup there. But Alabama, was the last time they finished last in the SEC? Never. They're good every year. They do stumble sometimes, so I guess you could say it's equivalent to that. They do obviously not win. They don't win the national championship every year. I talked about last time on Wednesday with the whole LeBron to Nick Saban Alabama correlation that was kind of crazy that was going over since LeBron. I think it was the last 8 years, all of LeBron's finals. LeBron has been 8 straight finals, and every single one, Alabama has either won the national championship game. And LeBron has won the title when they win the national championship game. And then when they lose, either in the national championship game or in a game prior, a semifinal game, LeBron loses. This was the first year where it actually did not correlate, obviously, because we know what happened. But the fact that you, as a freshman, you come in with you've played literally, what, how many snaps did he play? 20, 25 snaps in garbage time throughout the whole season. Comes in the biggest game of the year. These aren't garbage time snaps, buddy. These are real things. We're losing. You need to get us back in this game with your arm. And then what did he do? He did just that. And that's why, and it's not surprising to me. People are like, oh my gosh, this guy did it. It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what he did. It's not surprising. He's been preparing this since he was 14, 15, 16, 12, 13, 14 years old. No matter. He's had an NFL quarterback mentoring him his whole life. Or not his whole life, but his whole youth football career. NFL quarterback, guy who went Heisman Trophy winner. Same high school, same coaches, same drills, same program, everything. It's a culture. When you create a culture somewhere, that's when you get repetition, and you find out that we can replicate some of these guys. I mean, not everybody's going to be exactly the same. We aren't making like clay soldiers here, but we can instill the same values and same beliefs and same work ethic in every one of our players, and then they'll have their individualities. Obviously, they'll have their individual strengths, things that they're better at than others, things that they're not as good at than others. Obviously, everybody there's different positions in football. That goes without saying. But just being able to get somebody like a Tua Tagovailoa into a position where he can be that good, and now he's going to be coming into the season. And now going back to my main point, which was like, why do you think Nick Saban is going to pick what he's going to do yet right now? Why would he do that? Why would he put that on Jalen Hurts? Why would he put that on Tua? You don't have to pick right now. We all kind of know in the back of our heads anyways, and we're going to shock the world and just all of a sudden start Jalen Hurts. He's going to transfer anyways if you don't pick him. I mean, honestly, I think it'd probably be in the best interest of Tua to find out early. I mean, of Jalen Hurts to find out early, because if Jalen Hurts finds out early enough that he's starting, he'll have more time to figure out where he's going to go after that. So, or even if he still wants to transfer. So, I mean, that's all kind of up in the air. But, I mean, Nick, let him play out. Let him get through at least a little bit of training, a little bit of, I'm going to call it training camp, or just like, you know, preseason workouts with the college teams, whatever they call that. But they have to work it out a little bit more. Obviously, Tua couldn't really do much in spring practice because of the broken hand. But the fact that you didn't see any, Tua broke his hand. I'm sorry, he lost his chance. Like, no, the kid's too good to do that. And he's a Heisman Trophy favorite this year. That's kind of what we're doing this first two segments. I just wanted to talk about Tua for a while there. Kind of ended up getting on a little tangents about Tua, though. But he expected to win the Heisman, obviously. Not expected, but definitely a possibility. If we don't know if he's starting yet, so we can't say he's expected. But if he does start, then it probably will be expected for him to win this, or at least be a heavy, heavy favorite to be just like his mentor, just like the guy he went to the same high school as, and is emulating to be. That's Marcus Mariota, who won the Heisman with the Oregon Ducks just a handful of years ago. So good, good looking for Tua. Hopefully, he gets that. I mean, I want him to start. I like watching him play. I've watched a lot of Jalen Hurts. Just didn't really do. He's not really a thrower. He's a runner. He's a great runner. He's honestly, I don't know. He doesn't want to be running back. Blah blah blah. Honestly, be like a little I don't know. You could go be receiver, be like a little X receiver or something like that, like a Tyreek Hill. I mean, you're smart. I mean, I don't know if you're quite fast enough. You're a little bulky, but he's definitely got the elusiveness to do that. But obviously, you want to be a quarterback. You want to have the ball in your hands. I don't knock people who are like, I don't want switching positions. Like Lamar Jackson, he wants to be a quarterback. He wants to have the ball in his hand. He's good at that. So, yeah, I don't knock people who don't want to leave quarterback position. That's pretty sweet. All right, that'll wrap it up for the segment. Next one, we'll go over a couple of running backs that are Heisman Trophy hopefuls, as well as a couple other guys throughout the show, and then we'll give you my week one predictions. We'll go through actually a lot of the top 25 matchups for week one. We talked about a lot of the matchups in general, but I really didn't pick who I thought was going to win, so we'll do that in the final segment after we go through a bunch of our Heisman favorites throughout these next two segments in the show. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to GSMC Football Podcast, the college football edition on a Friday, as we're back now talking about some college athletes, some college football guys that we think are going to be good enough to win the Heisman Trophy this coming season. And I went over a quarterback, and quarterbacks are always, I mean, what we've had the last decade, it's been all quarterbacks pretty much, except for Trent Richardson and Derrick Henry. And that was probably a year that was down for quarterbacks, because seemingly every year, I mean, it's going to be a quarterback, whether it's a runner or, I mean, honestly, usually we've seen a lot more mobile guys. I mean, Marcus Mariota, Andrew Luck gets snubbed twice for I think was for obviously RG3. He was more of a runner. And then we saw, was it? I don't think Sam, none of those guys were Heisman, but we saw Baker Mayfield wins last year, and he wasn't really your prototypical pocket passer either. So, I mean, there's different things everywhere. Obviously, the college game is still kind of allowing for a lot of these running quarterbacks due to the simplified aspect of the game and the fact that we have a conference called the Big 12 where they don't believe in defense. So, I mean, expect maybe the Big 12 to have another guy to pop this year. And, I mean, if you want to think about a guy who could pop this year, briefly get over some quarterbacks, it'd be the guy over at Baylor who has been deemed the next Baker Mayfield. I mean, I'm not speculating anything. I haven't really watched much of this. This is Charlie Brewer. That's the supposed to be the next big guy who's coming in to play for the Baylor Bears. I mean, but he's the same thing. 6'1", 190. That's the exact same stats, pretty much same measurables as Baker Mayfield. And 6'1", tall enough to be a quarterback? I guess maybe a little bit. 6'1", 6'2". It's in the lower end, but you want to be around 6'3". I like 6'3", is like the perfect. It's 1 inch, Tom. Come on. 1 inch. But, I mean, this is a guy, I mean, who played in 8 games last year as a freshman with Baylor. 11 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, threw for over 1,500 yards. I mean, Baylor, honestly. Bryce Petty went to Baylor and succeeded. So, take your Baylor quarterbacks with a grain of salt. I mean, you could say the same thing about RG3. We know he set the world on fire his rookie year. Obviously was not durable enough to last long in this league. I think he did find a team, though. Obviously, he was on the Browns, but I think he found a team this offseason, right? There was all the hubbub. It was like, oh, RG3 found a team, but you still can't find one for Mr. Kaepernick. So RG3 is the backup for the Ravens right now. That's right. I figured he signed with the Ravens. As they obviously have a couple guys they have to decide over now with Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco. Thomas is a college football show. You're talking about college. Oh, we know. I was just talking about RG3. And the fact that he went to Baylor shows you that maybe Baylor quarterbacks aren't the ones. I mean, they're very flashy in college. They're really fun to watch in college, especially because they play in the Big 12 where they don't play defense. That much. I mean, obviously, Lincoln Riley's trying to figure that out, change that culture a little bit at Oklahoma. Why do you think Oklahoma's good? Obviously, they have a good offense and a lot of good special players, but they actually do try and play defense. They actually try a little bit. TCU, same thing. They try a little bit, so they actually can get up on everybody else. Nobody really else tries to play defense. Oklahoma State, they get into a lot more shootouts than you think. But, I mean, I like to, as a freshman, you got to like the stats from Charlie Brewer. Could be a guy that pops up on your radar eventually this coming season, as he'll likely be that quarterback, as he's now. I mean, they changed it, of course. It's a 6'1", 203, gained 13 pounds. Put on that muscle. There you go. As we come into the season, but you know, this is a season where I think we might get another running back as a Heisman Trophy winner. Obviously, Tua has something to say about that. Maybe a Will Greer does too, if he puts in some serious numbers in at West Virginia, but. There are two running backs in our league in college football right now that they're definitely the height I want to say the front runners for this award, because it's tough to say a running back is a front runner for anything these days, because it's such a quarterback driven sport in general, not just a league in the NFL. It's a quarterback driven sport. College football you do got a little bit less, because I mean there's programs that don't throw the ball at all. I mean, you have some of these military programs. I don't know if it's Army or Navy. They run the wing T or the triple option offense. I mean, Veer offense as well, is all kind of a much heavier throwing, like 90% throwing. 90% running, less throwing. 90% running offense. We're gonna have three different guys who can run the ball, triple option. So I mean, that's true. College football, not necessarily the passing league, but we are getting into it. We are going to go over. I want to look at Jonathan Taylor's highlights really quick here. But his stats. As I think Jonathan, well, that's the guy. It's Jonathan Taylor and Bryce Love. They're the two guys who you have to keep an eye on this year. Bryce Love, and they're both going to be in red and white. So Bryce Love's at Stanford. I mean, if you're out in the East Coast, just do it once. Maybe you'll get a game that's early or something like that. Pick out a game where Stanford's on the road or something like that and plays out east. Or I think they do go to Notre Dame this year. That game will be earlier, but I know that you guys out there in the East Coast can't really stay up late enough to watch the West Coast games. Cause I mean, Stanford, when they play at 7 o'clock, that's a 10 o'clock start on the East Coast, sometimes 10:30. Most of the time 10:30, because they're doing like double triple headers on ESPN, but it's worth it. Go watch Bryce Love, and watch what he's been able to do even last year. I mean, his stats last year, we'll go over them in a second, were with a lot of injury. He had major injury issues as well. So there's definitely some concern maybe going this year. Hopefully he can get completely healthy coming into this season. But looking at Jonathan Taylor's line from last year, I mean, 273 rush attempts, over 1,800 yards, 13 touchdowns, and he also had 7 catches for 82 yards, which, I mean, that's probably just a product of the offense. They don't really throw to him all that much out of the backfield, but this is a guy who's been elusiveness. I mean, he averaged 6.8 yards a carry. What did Saquon Barkley average a carry in his career? I mean, maybe it's probably a little bit higher than you think, because he had a lot of big long runs. But, I mean, this is a guy. Jonathan Taylor carried it 30 times against Purdue in a win. He's carried it 29 times in a win against Iowa. That's a big team. I mean, Florida Atlantic. But, I mean, Nebraska ran it 25 times. He ran it 25 times against Nebraska and averaged 10 yards a carry. He ran for 248 yards on 25 carries. That's a lot of yards right there and a couple touchdowns. So, I mean, this is a guy who's explosive. I mean, we haven't really heard about him, obviously, but he's going to be a guy who's going to make Wisconsin. I mean, if Wisconsin's going to have any chances here in the Big Ten, in the Big Ten West, I mean, obviously their schedule helps them out a lot. We've gone over that a lot, obviously, with the fact that Wisconsin's schedule is not that hard. I mean, look at last year. Last year they did have to play Michigan and Ohio State. But they played Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game because they were undefeated through the Big Ten schedule. Their toughest game was at home against Michigan. Their toughest road game was non-existent. Their road games last year were at Minnesota, at Indiana, at Illinois, at a weak Nebraska team without Scott Frost yet, and at BYU, which is probably was their toughest road game, just matchup wise. BYU has a good program going, but they beat them 40-6. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They won their road games by a combined, like by an average of like 30 points or something like that. Yeah. Almost like 25 points. They averaged their road wins. Their closest game was actually a home game against Purdue. 17-9 was the final. Don't get me started with Wisconsin and their football team and their scheduling. I mean, this year Jonathan Taylor is probably due for another great year because they don't play anybody. I have to do it again. I'm going to get lost in this little Wisconsin scheduling rant. I mean, basically, it's just Iowa that they have to worry about at all because Iowa has an equally weak schedule this year. So Nebraska, okay, Wisconsin, okay, here we go. They do actually have some decent road. Compared to last year, this actually is a tough schedule. Compared to this last year, right here, the schedule I just read to you guys before, that was 2017. 2018 actually does get a little bit tougher. They do have road games at Michigan and at Penn State and at Northwestern. So they do give them a little bit. Still no Ohio State. They do have to go to Iowa. But, yeah, that's about it. Everything else is they play all the easy home games as well. So they shouldn't lose a game at home this season. They might get tripped up against Michigan. They don't have to play Penn State, but no Saquon Barkley. You miss Penn State at the right year. I mean, Trace McSorley have fun with that, but yeah, not Saquon. But back to Jonathan Taylor, obviously. Those were his numbers as a freshman, by the way. So he'll have a little bit tougher sledding this year because you have a Michigan on the road. You also have a Penn State on the road as well. So. I mean, against Michigan last year and Northwestern last year, they played them both at home, and Taylor pretty much Northwestern held him to his lowest average on the season. He was 19 yards, 80 yards on 19 carries, averaging 4.2 yards per carry, but he had two touchdowns. So, I mean, it's still a good day. Still a fine day. I mean, he does well against tough. That's probably the toughest defense he faced. Maybe Michigan, but still, Michigan at least kept him out of the end zone, but he still ran for, 157 yards or 132 yards, 6.9 average. So, I mean, those are your two toughest defenses in the league. Everything else, Maryland's pushover, Illinois, Indiana's pushover. I mean, this season they're going to face all those teams. This year, actually, they're going to have to face them on the road. But they're going to be traveling to. Do they play? Where are all their road games? I'm not seeing any road games. All their road games are like. They have at Penn State, at Michigan, and at Iowa, at Northwestern. Those are their road games. Everything else, they are at Purdue. So they still get to play Minnesota at home, Illinois at home, Rutgers at home, BYU at home, and Nebraska at home. And then go look at Nebraska's schedule. Whoever makes this, I mean, honestly, Wisconsin and Nebraska just flip schedules. Just flip schedules. Nebraska will still have the tough games on the road because they still have to play Michigan. I think they still play all those teams on the road anyways. But they'll at least have the home games against Illinois and Maryland and Rutgers and Nebraska. Or I didn't say Maryland, but I meant Minnesota. Maryland's the other team on the East. They're in the Big Ten too, but they're the weak side of the East. While you have Minnesota as the weak side of the West over in over in the Big Ten. So, you know, Jonathan Taylor, he'll have fine this year. I think he'll be able to put up some serious yardage. If you look at his comparisons last year, I mean, obviously teams get better, but he'll be able to take off from that as that was the second favorite I wanted to talk about as we'll go through the last one in the final segment. That's going to be Bryce Love, and we'll talk about Stanford as their outlook for the season as well. So we'll stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to GSMC Football Podcast on a Friday today here at the College Football Edition as we're talking some Heisman Trophy favorites. I had Tua, I had Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. Wow, I was going to say Washington. Wisconsin. Speaking of Washington, I mean, there could be another sleeper over there. I mean, not really a sleeper because he was up there on the Heisman Trophy talk back in his sophomore year when he was leading the Washington Huskies to a college football playoff appearance, and that's Jake Browning. So Jake could, I mean, you don't know, he's healthy now, he's got his shoulder all figured out, and he's able to get that ball slinged down the field there in Washington, maybe turn in a Heisman caliber season for himself. But I mean, the guys who we talk about as favorites, the third one is a running back as well, but he's from Stanford. That's Bryce Love. We talked a lot about Bryce Love a little bit. I mean, this is a guy who is a biology major. I mean, I think he's come out and said he wants to be a doctor. This guy who's put up some serious numbers. I mean, he actually even played a little bit underneath Christian McCaffrey as kind of that second running back there at Stanford, and those guys were a dynamic duo for sure. As he did play, he's been at Stanford for three seasons, so he's staying for his senior year. He obviously is going to be another top of the line running back to come into the NFL, of course, if he can stay healthy. So, I mean, looking last year, I mean, this is a Stanford team that put up some serious points. I mean, they had multiple games where a game with 58, multiple games in the 40s. But Bryce Love, I mean, he only had two games over 30 carries. I mean, he was dealing with a lot of injuries. But, I mean, even in the bowl games he played, he played in the bowl game, 26 carries, 145 yards. I mean, it seems pretty. I mean, 100 yards rushing for him is like every day. I mean, 150 yards rushing seemingly every day. So he never averaged under, and his lowest average was 4.3 yards per carry. And that was against a tough Washington State team, actually a loss, a team that beat Stanford actually last season. As they were actually a tough team that Mike Leach got that defense really figured out as in that last year, because I mean that team was firing all cylinders last year. I mean, they got that defense. I mean, usually Mike Leach, you know, offense, air raid. I mean, they got the defense figured out. They beat Stanford last year, but I mean, they were able to come back. Stanford beat Washington, beat Cal, beat Notre Dame, then obviously losing to USC in the Pac-12 championship game. But I mean, Bryce Love, even in the losses, I mean, this guy would just put up numbers. I mean, his worst game was against Washington State with 16 carries, 69 yards. They really just focused on him, keyed on him. But, I mean, this is a guy who rushed for 300 yards in one game. That was against Arizona State last year. But, I mean, 25 carries, 300 yards, 12 yards a carry. I mean, that's not even the highest he's averaged, actually. The highest he averaged last year was against Rice. He averaged 13.8 a carry. I mean, that was obviously a blowout win, but then to come back to it, and then actually the most he averaged against in the loss against San Diego State was in the loss 14.2 yards per carry against San Diego State in the loss. Actually, it took last year. That was a heartbreaker right there for Stanford. But 13 carries, 184 yards, 14. I mean, yeah, we could look at stats from last year all we want, but this is a guy who has been hurt all throughout last year, put 17 touchdowns in, got almost 2,000 yards rushing. I mean, literally the guy was 27 yards short of 2,000 yards rushing. I mean, this guy knows what he's doing. He knows. I mean, what's surprising though is they only had six catches for 33 yards. So I mean, if he wants to get more in the NFL kind of selling point where you move yourself up the draft boards a little bit, there is that NFL teams, they love throwing it to the running back, love throwing it to the running back. And so maybe he did have 15 catches in 2015, 8 catches in 2016. He's shown ability to have the good hands and be able to catch the football, but he's got to be able to pump that up. I think this year maybe you'll see David Schaub take that part of the offense and increase it a little bit more with the passes out of the backfield, maybe give KJ Costello a little more time. But that Stanford offense can be pretty interesting, actually. They have a lot of big packages, a lot of those ogre packages. We have a bunch of linemen in there. Get holes for the running backs, but then also they run the play action better than anybody I've ever seen. I mean, some of those play action plays, I mean, the linebackers are right behind the linemen, and they're being just pushed so far up the field, and the quarterback can just sit right behind and just throw pick right behind pick apart that defense a little bit by just sitting there and just boop, just, you know, we're going to go as we go here with these play-action passes because we're pulling these linebackers out of position, which is what a good running back does. I mean, that's not only – so the good running back, obviously, yeah, we love running plays. I mean, big running chunk yard running plays, first downs, everything, broken tackles, touchdowns. But they do very valuable things where they set a tone with the running game. They cause linebackers to jump with play action, and then they also will start creating some body blows for those defensive linemen. Just wear and tear, wears it down, and every single time in Stanford, that's their MO. I mean, sometimes they'll wear you down to a nub. Seemingly, last year they did that to a couple different teams. As I mean, they were able to grind out some wins. The Cal game actually was a grind out victory there, but they've also been able to put the stomping on some teams where their defense, I mean, and the team is sometimes, that's a lot, but a lot of thing about football teams. You can have as good an offense as you want. You can have a Heisman Trophy candidate as you want. You can have two of them, three of them if you want. But if your defense can't stop anybody, it's tough to win a lot of games 58 to 34. It's tough to win a lot of games, 30 to 22. I mean, so that's how you get beat. I mean, sometimes your defense isn't on, then you all of a sudden you lose. They score one touchdown, they beat you 33 or 31, 30 or something like that. So you got to be able to stop them. You got to get the ball back to your back, because that's the guy that you're going to be relying on. I mean, the one game he didn't play last year because of the injury was the Oregon State game, actually, where this... Oregon State thought they might be able to squeak across a win last year. I think they actually did get one win last year, but they were pretty bad. They actually only lost Stanford by 1 point. But I'm going to look at the Stanford and then kind of look at their schedule for this year and see where Bryce Love might be able to get some big games. Obviously, we know where he was last year. What teams really sparked? Obviously, his offense. He had 3 touchdowns against Arizona State. A 300-yard game. So, obviously, the ASU game is going to be a big one for him this year. But they didn't play – there was no Colorado. They did play Utah. I mean, obviously, these teams, we have a lot of turnover as well. So, they're going to be playing – they have to play San Diego State again this year. So, and it's going to be at Stanford. This is going to be a game August 31st. We're getting close. This first game of the year is going to be a big, big deal because they did not like the fact that they lost – to them last year. That was not a good thing. I mean, it was a back-to-back loss kind of situation where you have – obviously, you have a tough loss, but you get blown out by USC. you're never really on the same level as them, and then you lose to San Diego State the way they did. So looking at this year, obviously the first game is going to be that San Diego State game. So they're going to have, it's going to be the reverse basically of last year. They had the Rice game, then USC, then SDSU. This year it's going to be the SDSU game, then USC, then they're going to play UC Davis, which should be fine, I think. That's going to be that'll be a tough one for UC Davis at Stanford. But yeah, they start with those three home games. The last one obviously was at SDSU. It was kind of a weird, I think it was an early game. The guys were probably a little bit off. They were definitely flat for that game. But going on and looking at it now, just looking at this, so they do actually, so after those three straight home games, they have to go to Oregon. Oregon's supposed to be pretty good this year, so that's going to be probably their toughest two-game punch right there. Is going to be maybe even a three-game punch, because they're going to have, they're going to be at Oregon, then they're going to be, fortunately, that's not very, it's not that big of a, not that far. Just a quick little flight out to, or, to New Eugene, but then they're going to go at Notre Dame, which is obviously all the way in Indiana, so that's going to be the travel for that one. That one's going to be a night game, though, because it's obviously Stanford-Notre Dame will be a 4:30 start. Be a night game on September 29th. That'll be a good one to watch. And then they're going to have to come home. And you think, okay, we just had this little road trip here where we played two tough games, hopefully scratch across two wins. And then you come home and you get Utah. And Utah is no slouch. Utah is no slouch whatsoever. So they'll be on their game for that one. They get a little reprieve. The Pac-12 can be kind of spicy this year, mind you. They get a little reprieve with ASU. And Herm Edwards, I'm not sure what they're doing down there. Washington State, obviously no more Luke Falk, so we'll see what they're dealing with Mike Leach and his quarterback situation. They're going to be then goes out to Seattle to play Jake Browning and the Huskies. So you play the Huskies at the end of the year. It could be a deciding factor for the Pac-12 North standings. Those two teams are definitely the favorites for that division in the conference there to get to a Pac-12 championship game again. Stanford just they actually had a worse record overall because they lost that SDSU game, but they beat Washington head to head, so they had the tiebreakers at the exact same conference schedule for 7-2, losing to Washington State and then also to USC last year. But then so it's gonna be at Washington on my birthday weekend, yeah, and then versus Oregon State at home. Then they're gonna play the big game at Cal. So that's the thing. You're going to have you stack all those road games up on the top of the schedule. You're going to finish with three out of four games. Your last three out of four games are going to be road games. Your last four out of your last six games are actually going to be road games as well. So you're going to be able to get, I mean, obviously, hopefully reel off some wins at home with that USC game at home. But it's going to be tough sledding at Washington. They obviously are going to get Oregon State at home. That'll be a pretty easy one, no offense, but and then at Cal, at UCLA, that could be a tricky little situation there too. But I mean, this is college football. This isn't like, oh, try and win all your home games, maybe you get a couple road games and you'll find the playoffs, like in the NFL. You win all your home games, that's eight. You win two or three road games, that's 11 wins right there. In college football, you can't lose. You can lose maybe one, and the one I think they might lose is that Notre Dame game because it's on the road, coming off of another road game. That Oregon game is not going to be easy as well. I think they do get past Washington. I think they do get past Oregon. But it's going to be up to KJ Costello. Bryce Love can't do it all himself. He can't throw the ball. He's a running back. So he's going to set the tone. He's going to probably make it easy for him. He's going to make it easy for him, setting up those play actions. But that's something that we have to be careful of. So we're gonna go, and actually I want to take a little peek really quick. So I know we don't really talk about betting all that much, but there are some guys who we don't want to forget about on here. So as far as Heisman Trophy winners, so or possible favorites and picks. So you can't forget about Justin Herbert over at Oregon State. Obviously the Ducks, they're going to be pretty good this year, coming back after a couple down years. Justin Herbert's a pretty good quarterback over there. Will Greer at West Virginia. Jake Browning up at Washington. And then I'm trying to think of maybe even a Shea Patterson. We haven't really talked about him, obviously, because he's still coming to a new program. He can't forget about him. Trace McSorley, can't forget about him. So there's a lot of different guys, especially the quarterbacks. Can't forget about those quarterbacks. Especially the ones in Jake Fromm. Maybe you see a surprise from Jake Fromm. We don't know. Obviously, he's kind of under the radar right now. We like those top running backs in Tua, but there's a lot of different options as well. So we'll come back in just a moment after the break, and we'll go over some of our week one predictions. I'll probably go through a bunch of different of my teams I like paying attention to. Stanford, I'll talk about the Stanford SDSU game, and then maybe even the Auburn Washington game and the Michigan Notre Dame game, a big one. And we'll go over some more of the top programs in there. And their week one matchups as well. I mean, some of them obviously aren't as big as others, but we have the obviously Alabama Louisville game as well. So there's more and more of these. Kickoff weekends are pretty fun to go over. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to GSMC Football Podcast, the college football edition on a Friday today here as we are going to do the final segment of the day here. We're looking at some of the predictions for week one of the college football schedule. Obviously, we're going to get a bunch of great matchups with the Washington Huskies playing the Auburn Tigers down. All these games are going to be neutral field, so not all of them, but most of them will be a neutral field. As this is going to be a big week in college football, as we like to, got to give credit. Everybody, they know how to start off a good week. They don't take advantage of the fact that they're going to be starting a week earlier than the NFL does, and making sure that we have the top games available for everybody, and to make sure we definitely prop them up appropriately, because there's going to be some big ones coming up this year. So going over the ones from. Coming up, we obviously have Michigan, Notre Dame. That one's going to be tough. Brandon, that's going to be a battle of quarterbacks that need to prove themselves. I mean, Shea Patterson, I don't know what the expectations quite are yet over at, in-house, at least in Michigan. Our expectations are high, obviously. Brandon Wimbush, his expectations are high around the country because he's actually been at Notre Dame for a little bit now. So he'll be able to... He definitely has a little bit of a leg up on Shea Patterson, but this is going to be one that's going to come down, I think, to the defenses. It's going to come down to how much they can stop each other. It'll be a low scoring game. I want to take Michigan just because I think they have more. They're going to have more athletes, more talent. It's a really even matchup. Honestly, it's a great matchup, great for college football. As you got to give them credit, they definitely know how to schedule some games. Next one, Michigan. We're taking Michigan, by the way, in that first game. All right, next one, Louisville and Alabama. This one's kind of a no-brainer. Sorry, Louisville. You're not on the same level as Alabama quite yet. I don't know if you're going to be anytime soon, but Alabama has Tua. I'm going to basically say Tua's starting. I'm sorry, but I'm saying it's Tua's starting on for Alabama on September 1st. So I'll take them for the win in week one. They should get by Louisville pretty easily, but that game's going to be at the Camping World Stadium in Florida, in Orlando. So that'll be a neutral field for them out there as they'll get that game going on September 1st. That's a Saturday. So we actually have games on Friday, too. So that Stanford, the Stanford SDSU game, that's on Friday. We actually have games all week. There's going to be games on Saturday the 25th. There's going to be games Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in that week one as we kick off college football. And we're so close to it as we're just a couple months away from seeing these players on the field. But, yeah, Stanford and SDSU, I'm going to take Stanford to avenge their loss from last year. I don't think they're going to hold any punches. It's going to be at home. It's going to be a bloodbath. Honestly, SDSU, they lose. You lose Rashard Penny, you're not going to be as good as you were last year. All right. Looking at some other games here on the schedule. Obviously, there's one actually that's going to be in, kind of jumping out is the West Virginia-Tennessee game. It's going to be at Tennessee. An interesting little interconference kind of matchup here with the Pac-12 and the SEC. I mean, I'm sorry, Big 12 and the SEC. Going at it, and I'll take West Virginia. I like even on the road. I think Tennessee. They're just kind of the new head coach. Everything that happened last season. West Virginia is actually going to be pretty good this year. Honestly, I think they might. They can be a one loss team this year, especially in the Big 12. In the Big 12, where wins are just seemingly tumbling out of everywhere. We're going to get. I mean, there's a lot of wins on their schedule. I mean, I can go talk about West Virginia for a second here because I mean they're going to be very good. Obviously, they have Will Grier coming over from Florida. He sat out his time. He did his has gone through all of his bad publicity because I know he's had some. You can't knock the kid as there's going to be. There's going to be learning curves every time, but the fact that he's now in a new place, in a new, better area, has been able to get into that program and been able to do his work, get through a spring practice, look really good, have everybody hoping he's going to do well, should be just fine coming into this season as we hope, because he's a good player, and we like to see players do well coming into week one of the season, so... I want to look at the West Virginia schedule really quick here because they do open with Tennessee, and playing in that playing in that Big Ten can be kind of, and Big 12 can be kind of interesting, and because you're going to play a Kansas, probably that's a win. You're going to play I don't want to say Iowa State's an automatic win. I don't want to say that, but it's getting close to it. You're going to play a Baylor. You'll be a favorite in that game. So looking at their schedule for this coming season. They do start off at home, so we'll see if they're going to go on the road for week two. I think we looked at these schedules. I want to just double check here. So yeah, they're going to start at home against Tennessee, then they go they'll take the Youngstown State, then they actually play NC State as well. So they play ACC opponent as well. So they play two interconference. So that's a pretty good. That's a pretty good non-conference scheduling right there by West Virginia. You got to give Danner Holgorsen some credit because if they can get past Tennessee and NC State, those are two Power Five teams in their non-conference schedule. They can help them with their strength of schedule. Rating at the end of the year, if they're going to get into a conversation with the old College World Playoff, that's the end of the season. That's gonna be tough sledding. Obviously, they're going to come in as favorites, so they're gonna probably come into that. So they play Tennessee, Youngstown State, NC State, Kansas State. This is in order. So the Kansas State, they get through the first three games, all the non-conference games. The one toughie is gonna be at NC State. That'd be toughie, but. Versus Kansas State at Texas Tech, that should be a win. Versus Kansas State should be a win. Versus Kansas, that's a win. That's your homecoming game. Of course it is. At Iowa State, that'll be a tough one. If it can get by there, that'll be a big win. Home against Baylor, you should win that. Texas Tech at Texas. Texas is a quarterback. I don't like Texas right now. Tom Herman's not. He hasn't really shown me much. I'll take West Virginia on that one, even though it's at Texas versus TCU. You can play TCU at home. That's big because this is your. This is the start of the big stretch. You're going to be at Texas. You're going to come home for TCU. You're going to go back out to Oklahoma. And you're going to come back home for. You're going to go out to Oklahoma to face Oklahoma State. Sorry, clarification. And you're going to come back home to face Oklahoma. And that'll be the end of your run. So, I mean, if you can say Oklahoma's your one loss at the end of the season right there, whoo, that looks pretty good. That looks pretty good. So they can navigate that. I mean, obviously, they're scheduled very soft in the middle, very rough on the outsides. The Tennessee game, not so much, but NC State, that'll be a tough one. They also play Youngstown State. This should be a win. But I'm definitely going to be paying close attention to West Virginia because, this is an interesting little schedule here. You got to be – they play the big schools. They can get by them. They're going to look very – it'll look very nice on the resume. Very, very nice, especially that non-conference. I mean, you play TCU, you play Oklahoma State and Oklahoma in a row. That's the one thing that's going to be tough at the end of that year, especially at the end of the year. You're going to probably have to deal with some injuries. Guys are banged up. I don't know if they're going to get all of those. They'll probably drop maybe two of them. I bet you TCU. I mean, the fortunate thing is they play TCU at home and they play Oklahoma at home. Oklahoma State doesn't have Mason Rudolph anymore. I mean, obviously, you still got Mike Gundy. He's a very good coach. They'll probably be up there again this season, but... Yeah, that's a very intriguing schedule there for the Mountaineers at West Virginia. So we'll pay close attention to them this coming season. But back to my week one picks, obviously with West Virginia and Tennessee, I said I took West Virginia, even though it's going to be at Tennessee. I just think West Virginia is a more complete football team. Their offense is going to be clicking, I bet, because Will Greer's got that. This is a guy who could be a top quarterback next year. I mean, he's basically everything you want in a quarterback: size, arm, everything. Maybe in between the ears, he needs to figure that out. But he's had time to grow. He's been through the public eye a few times with negativity. So he's kind of you can kind of get used to. I mean, I don't want to say get used to it, but you can become accustomed to it a little bit better and know how to carry yourself through it. So that's definitely experience is necessary sometimes in every faction of it, of experience in general. So looking at some of these other ones, Oregon State opens with I don't know if the coach at Oregon State, the new coach at Oregon State's buddies with Urban Meyer, but that's a very interesting little matchup there to start off the season, a Pac-12 Big Ten matchup with Oregon State traveling to Ohio State to get their beating. That's going to be a tough one. I'll definitely take Ohio State in that one. If Oregon State was, that'd be the biggest upset in college football history, I think. It would be if anything happened. All right, the big one. Obviously, I'm not going to say that. Sorry, Louisville, Alabama is not the big one. The big one, the most evenly, other than the one we already talked about, which was Michigan Notre Dame. I picked Michigan. Even though I think that, correct. Does that mean that game is going to be at Notre Dame? Because that's going to be the one thing. I'm really good with the matchups, and it's not so much with remembering who's home and who's away. And the Michigan Notre Dame game, as I'm looking for it on my schedule list here. But no, the biggest big one, I think, is going to be that it's going to definitely be your friends at Washington, my friend at Washington, playing against Auburn. Auburn is a very good school. Auburn is a very, very good school. So there's the Michigan. It's going to be at Notre Dame. So yeah, I'll be wishy-washy on that. I'm looking forward to see what Vegas thinks about that. But no, the other one is that is definitely the Washington and Auburn game. It's going to be at a neutral field. Wait, is the Michigan game going to be on a neutral field? That's the one thing. Nope, it's going to be in Notre Dame. So yeah, no, I don't think so. I know the kickoff games, like the Notre Dame game is not going to be on a neutral field, but the kickoff games like the Alabama game, the other, I think the LSU Miami game, that's another one I'll have to pick too in a second here, but that's going to be at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, which seemingly hosts something every year. Got to give Jerry Jones credit. He built one of the best stadiums and everybody wants to have it there. And then, then the other game is at, is in Orlando. We talked about that. All right, but yeah, Michigan, Notre Dame. I'll stick with Michigan for now. I like Shea Patterson. I want to see what he can do there. And then Washington, Auburn. No more Kerryon Johnson. Both teams have been kind of lost. Both teams. This is interesting. Both teams actually. One team lost their running back. One team lost their receiver. Dante Pettis is gone. Kerryon Johnson's gone. Both teams have their quarterbacks back. Both teams have two other skilled players on their team that are very good. So, I mean, you have a receiver on Auburn who's pretty talented. You got their quarterback, Jared Stidham, who's going to come back from that surgery and probably just chomping the bit. Same thing with both the guys actually have had shoulder issues. I don't think Jake Browning needs surgery. But you have still Miles Gaskins over there as well at Washington, who can really make things work. He's a running back. That's the difference. I think that's why I'm going to take Washington because I think they have the edge. I think their defense is a little bit better. They do lose Vita Vea, but they'll probably have guys who he's worked underneath him will be just fine. I'll take Washington because even though I left Gus Malzahn, Chris Peterson was on my top 10 list too. And I like Jake. I love Jake Browning. Can't go away from my fellow Folsom Bulldog there. But yeah, just going off of the fact that they still have their running back. Miles Gaskins is a very good running back. I think Washington gets by Auburn on a neutral field. And I'm sticking with Michigan. The other one at LSU Miami. we'll take Miami. That's pretty. That's not. I mean, unless Joe Burrow plays for LSU and plays really, really well, then maybe. But Miami, they got some good defense. They got a great secondary. Malik Rozier is back. They got some good little weapons on the outside. So I'll take Miami there. And then the other game is actually Virginia Tech and Florida State at Florida State. Big first week one test for Willie Taggart there at Florida State, because he's still on to figure out a quarterback situation. We don't know. Obviously, Johnny DeFrancois is still kind of working his way back from the injury, and he's had some legal issues, been in the media for a while, while Justin Blackman has just worked his booty off. He's been in the office. He's been in the facilities. He wants that job really, really bad. DeAndre probably wants it too, but he's got other stuff that he's got to deal with, especially his health. So I'm going to take... It's at Florida State, and I think Willie Taggart wins his first game. I do like Virginia Tech. I do like Coach Fuente. That's a tough one. That's a really tough one, because Virginia Tech's going to be good this year. Honestly, you know what? Yeah, Virginia Tech's going to stun them. I'm going to take it. Hokies on the way. They're going to go into Doak Campbell Stadium. They're going to beat Florida State week one. Florida State's going to start off on a bad note again. They haven't figured themselves out. They had a weird coaching changeover, weird little offseason Florida State. They're not really focused on football right now, I don't think. Virginia Tech has had their coach, and still Fuente's been there for a while, he's been there, and they're ready to go. I think Virginia Tech's going to be good this year, so I'll take Virginia Tech on the road. They need this win coming into the season for week one. All right, that'll wrap it up for the show today, as we have done a lot of talk on Heisman stuff, picked out some serious player contenders and players that I've talked about, and then also did some week one predictions as well. So everybody have a good weekend. We'll be back on Monday, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.